this morning. I see we have some guests that I presume are here, especially for Mother's Day. Well done. You get bonus points for that, in case you're keeping score. Moms, have a happy Mother's Day. Yeah, today's your day. Hopefully you get treated right. Hey, we started last week about talking about faith, and we discussed what it means to walk by faith. And we got just a brief recap from last week. Somebody actually videotaped an illustration that we did of a faith walk. So let's roll that video. That was fast, huh? Well, it took a lot longer than that last week. That was Tony and Carice, and she was blindfolded and had to be led by Tony. And we talked about how that demonstrates walking by faith. You have to trust the seer. That's who God is. He sees it all. He knows it all. And so we trust him. And then you need to listen closely to what he is saying so that you can follow him. And then simply obey his instructions. And that's what Carice did. She had to listen closely and follow his instructions. In fact, I thought even more afterwards, if you were here, and if you weren't right in the front, you probably couldn't hear everything that was going on. But Tony was just gently whispering instructions to her, nice and quiet, gentle, taking his time. And I thought, that's just the way God talks too. It's that gentle whisper, that quiet voice. He was holding her hands. You know, God walks with us through all of our troubles. At first, Carice, was a little bit tentative, and I think we're a lot that way sometimes too when God is leading us. Like, am I sure? You know, but she ultimately trusted him, and she followed his instructions carefully, and then they made it all the way around without any trip ups, safely home. Great picture of how God leads us. And we walk by faith. Faith doesn't depend on feelings, but rather on God's word. And faith isn't in a hurry, but will wait on God. And faith isn't intimidated by the size of the situation, because faith knows the size of God. Okay, that was a good spot for an amen. All right. You're either with me. Okay. I want you to be with me. Here we go. Now, this week I want to talk about weighing faith. And basically what I mean by weighing faith is we're just going to dive in a little deeper and talk about what really is faith. Okay? And so we're going to start with the substance of faith. And, of course, Hebrews 11:1 is our primary scripture here. Faith begins by being certain. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And some translations say it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is really what faith is. Now, last week I clarified my thoughts on blind faith, and I don't believe that we are blindly following God. He gives us enough evidence to trust him. I believe that's true. In the video example, Carice trusted Tony because they have a loving relationship. She knew she could trust him, okay? So blind faith doesn't mean that there's no evidence, there's no history, there's no backstory, but it means that we trust God and we don't have to have all of the details in order to trust him. So it's blind in that sense. It's blind to the impossibilities, and it's deaf to doubt because we see and we listen to God, who is worthy of our trust. Close. Man. All right. I'll lighten up. Faith is certain, and then faith is confident. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us not draw near. Let me start again. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's confidence. And Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Faith is filled with confidence. David, in the story of David and Goliath, David was filled with confidence. He knew who God was. Here's this giant, 9 foot tall, but David was not intimidated by the size of that giant because he knew who his God was, and he went out with full confidence and basically said, today, you're going down, big guy. That's Pastor Phil's paraphrase. But he was confident because he knew who God was. He was filled with faith. And then faith is convinced. In Romans chapter 4, it's talking about Abraham and how God had promised him a son. And it says that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. He was fully persuaded. He was convinced. God said he's going to do it, and so God's going to do it. That's faith. Donald Barnhouse says, true faith acts on supernatural facts and gets supernatural results. When you really are listening to God and you know who God is, you are certain, you are confident, you are convinced. In fact, Martin Luther, I didn't even realize he used the same terminology, but he says faith is a living, well-founded confidence in the grace of God, so perfectly certain that it would die 1,000 times rather than surrender its conviction. Certain, confident, convinced. That's the substance of faith. Now, the Bible talks about different sorts of faith as well, and I think it's wise for us to take a look at these. And the first one that you don't want is lacking faith. Okay? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus went to his hometown, and it says that he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And so lack of faith can interfere with God's work. Did you know that? And then in Mark 16, some of the disciples were gathered together. This was after the resurrection, and they had had some come tell them, hey, we saw Jesus alive, and they're not believing it. And so Jesus finally appears, and he actually rebukes them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him. So lacking faith is really, in essence, is unbelief. That's what it is. And that's a tremendous hindrance to God's works. When we don't believe God, then things don't happen. That's kingdom dynamics. Okay? I've said before that God really wants to partner with human beings. Okay? Very rarely does he just kind of swoop in and do his own thing, but he almost always finds somebody who will work with him to accomplish his purposes. And so he needs somebody who will really believe him, not be filled with unbelief. So you can be lacking in faith, or you can have little faith. And I really think probably most people are right here, little faith. In Matthew 8:26, Jesus said to the disciples, now these are the disciples who are right there with Jesus. He says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he calmed the storm. Okay, the disciples walking right there side by side with Jesus every day, in and out. And he says, you got little faith. Then in Matthew chapter 14, Peter's walking on the water, which sounds like great faith. But then he begins to sink. And Jesus says to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I read that and I think, really, Peter? A man of little faith? He's walking on water. Holy moly. He's walking on water, but Jesus says, you of little faith. And I think, what about the other disciples who are holding onto the boat for dear life? What about them? If Peter's a man of little faith, what does that say about them? Right? Now let me clarify here a little bit. If a person is in constant state of not trusting Jesus and not wanting to learn more about his ways, that is called unbelief in the Bible. When you kind of persist in just not really trusting the Lord. However, if you read through the scriptures, when Jesus talks about somebody having little faith, typically they are experiencing a knowledge problem or a trust problem in a very specific situation. Okay? So when Matthew talks about a person having little faith, he is not challenging what they believe, but how much they trust. And so we can talk about Peter having little faith, and it wasn't that he did not believe, because he's actually walking on water. He got out of the boat and he's walking on water, so he believes. But then he gets overcome with doubt. Okay? And then Jesus says that's little faith, because it wavered. But then you can have great faith. Great faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, the centurion is talking to Jesus, and the centurion basically describes how authority works. And Jesus is impressed with this guy. You understand how authority works. And he says, I tell the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And the guy got what he was asking for. And I mean that in a good way. Okay? But he had great faith. And then in Matthew 15, there's this lady had a daughter who was demon-possessed, and Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Two times Jesus comments about somebody having great faith. What caused Jesus to be amazed at their great faith? And I think that's pretty impressive in and of itself, that Jesus was amazed at something. And he was amazed. They had great faith. In both cases, the centurion and this mother were certain and confident and convinced that Jesus could do what they asked. They had the substance of faith. And their faith was driven by compassion for somebody else. It wasn't just about themselves. They came to Jesus on behalf of someone else with absolute confidence that Jesus could do it. And Jesus is like, whoa! You've got faith, man. He maybe visited California once or twice. Gnarly, dude. He was amazed. And, you know, how do you surprise the Lord? I mean, he knows everything. So how can you surprise him? And yet he was amazed at these people, because they really, really believed. Charles Spurgeon says, little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I like that. Now, you might be in the camp of little faith, but here's the good news. You can have growing faith. In Luke 17:5, the apostles, that's the 12, said to the Lord, increase our faith. They asked him for more. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, the apostle is thanking God for the believers there because their faith is growing more and more. So your faith can grow. Now, how do you grow your faith? First step is you ask, just like the disciples did. Lord, increase our faith. And I think probably every one of us in this room could say that prayer. Lord, increase my faith. And then read the word, because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the word. Okay? And then act on it, because James tells us that faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So faith and action have to go together, otherwise your faith is dead. If your faith is dead, it can't be growing. Right? So ask, read the word, and act on it. And then finally we come to the ultimate, you can have full faith. Stephen was described this way in Acts chapter 6, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas was described as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. I want to be a person who is full of faith, walking in the confidence of who God is and completely trusting in his power and ability. How about you? Full faith. I don't want to be in the lacking faith camp. That's unbelief. And God is actually insulted at that. And I don't want to stay in the camp of little faith. I think a lot of believers are right there. We believe, but not really enough. Okay? So I want to be growing in my faith and moving towards full faith. Absolute, total confidence in the Lord. Now let's talk about sources of faith. This one's really simple. God. Okay? Ephesians 2:8 says you're saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's the gift of God. So faith we get starts with God. He gives us faith to begin with. Okay? Now, but there's a second part to this. Jesus. Told you this was simple. Acts 3:16, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing. Faith comes through Jesus. But there's a third part. Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit. That's right. 1 Corinthians 12:9 speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is faith, and it's given by the Holy Spirit. So where do we get our faith? From the Lord. Now, I already mentioned Romans 10:17, which says faith comes from hearing the word. Well, the word reveals God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So, of course, that will give us faith because they are the ultimate source of faith. Then let's talk about there are ways to sabotage your faith. Did you know that? You can sabotage your faith. And the first one is pretty common. Doubt. And again, I go back to Peter walking on the water, which I think started as great faith, okay? But it ended up being little faith because Jesus said, why did you doubt? He's doing the stuff. And then he doubts. And so it damaged his faith, and he began to sink. John Rice says, never put a question mark where God has put a period. Don't doubt. If God said it, that's it. End of story. You know, I had a professor one time, he talked about the phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And he said, I don't really like that. He says, I want to say, God said it, that settles it. Okay? Now, my beliefs just need to get on board with that, but if God said it, it's already a done deal. Okay? So doubt can sabotage your faith, but disbelief can really, really sabotage your faith. In Mark 16, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, he actually rebuked them for their stubborn refusal to believe. They had people they knew and trusted come and tell them, we've seen Jesus, he's not dead, he's alive, and they would not believe it. And so Jesus comes on the scene and he basically gives them a whack and rebukes them for not believing. That's disbelief. It messes with your faith. Hebrews 3:19 is talking about the Israelites and the promised land, and it says that they were not able to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Disbelief causes huge problems in the faith realm. The promised land was exactly that. It was a promise, but they didn't get it because they didn't really believe. And they persisted in their unbelief. Now, God's promise still was fulfilled because he spared the younger generation that didn't have time to come up with all their own conclusions. And they did get into the promised land. But disbelief can really mess things up. Mark 1:23 says, everything is possible for one who believes. So if there's disbelief, then you could say little to nothing is possible if there's disbelief. We don't want to get caught up in disbelief. God's word says such and so. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Oh, really? Disbelief will ruin your faith. F.B. Meyer says, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Disbelief. I understand doubt. I get it. I've doubted. Have you ever doubted? Okay. But disbelief, if I ever wander into the camp of disbelief, Lord help me to get out of that camp. I do not want to be in the place of disbelief. Hopefully you're with me on that. If God says something, we need to believe it. No matter how unbelievable it sounds, if God says it, do not disbelieve. Another thing that can sabotage your faith is when you deny your conscience. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19 basically says that if we reject our good conscience, it will shipwreck our faith. And here's how that works. The Holy Spirit frequently speaks to us and directs us through our conscience. Okay? You know the old little pictures of the little angel on your shoulder and the demon on your other shoulder, all of that. And I don't believe that there's really those things going on, but there's an element of truth in there that the Holy Spirit is right there kind of whispering to you. And he uses your conscience. And so when you're doing something and you just kind of, there's a check in your heart that's like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. That's probably the Holy Spirit talking to you. Okay? And so if you pay attention to that, it increases your faith and it sharpens your faith. But if you ignore that, sooner or later, it's going to wreck your faith if you keep on denying that whisper of the Holy Spirit. And then one more way we can sabotage our faith is dereliction of duty. Because James makes it super practical. James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So if you are not doing what you know to do, what God says to do, you're going to kill your faith. It's dead. 2 Peter 1:5 instructs us to add to our faith. So it's not just a matter of believing something. It's a matter of believing enough to do something. There's a big difference between just intellectually agreeing with something and then actually acting upon it. I know I've told about Charles Blondin walking the tightrope over Niagara Falls. Some of you know the story. He was amazing. Tightrope over Niagara Falls. He did all kinds of things out there. He'd walk backwards. He would take a table and chair out there and have breakfast. Crowds came to watch him. And one time he asked the crowd, how many believe that I could carry a man on my shoulders across the falls on the wire? Oh, yeah, we believe you can. Yeah. All right, who's going to be the guy to walk with me on my shoulders? Silence. Okay? There's a huge difference between thinking you believe something and actually believing it enough to act on it. Huge difference. And when we don't do something with our faith, eventually our faith will die. Faith needs to be exercised. T.S. Eliot says, the greatest proof of Christianity for others is not how far a man can logically analyze his reasons for believing, but how far in practice he will stake his life on his belief. Do you believe enough to put your life on the line? Need to act on your faith. So instead of doubt and disbelief and denial and this dereliction, those things sabotage our faith, let's get focused on the stability of our faith. Real faith is unshakable. Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. If you really trust God, you're unshakable. And true faith is untiring as well. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, the Apostle Paul talks about how we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's untiring. It's unshakable. Faith stands strong. Now listen to this. According to the National Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. If we could see into the future, and if we could see our problems in their true light, they wouldn't blind us, but instead could be relegated to their true size and place. Here's the truth. When we focus on who God is and just how big he is, our problems begin to seem very small. So I say, believe whatever God says, no matter how unbelievable it seems. True faith is certain, it's confident, and it's convinced. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. Did you notice the word all there? It doesn't mean some things are possible. All things are possible with God. And then Luke flips it the other way. In Luke 1:37, it says, nothing is impossible with God. Now, between the two of those, I think we're on safe ground to say, God can do anything, right? If all things are possible with him and nothing is impossible with him, I think I'm pretty safe to say God can do anything. And so I say, let's be people of faith who trust God in all circumstances, and let's act on what we believe. If you need a healing and believe that God heals, then you should act on that and ask for his healing. You should ask for others to pray with you. In fact, I believe coming forward to get prayed for is a step of faith. And if you've prayed for healing and you haven't got healed, and you come again for prayer, that's faith again. It's not a lack of faith because you didn't get healed the very first time. It's you're demonstrating persistent faith. I'm not giving up. I still believe God can heal me. That's faith. And then let's furnish our minds with God's word. Read your Bible. That seems so basic, and yet I know people that don't read their Bibles or very little. Let's just be real for a moment, okay? Read your Bible. It furnishes your mind with what it needs for faith. Then we can become people of great faith, people who are full of faith as we grow. And so ask God to increase your faith and keep moving towards Christ. He's the ultimate source. Let's be people of faith. So let's pray. Lord, help us in our unbelief. We don't want to stay in the camp of unbelief. We want to grow in our faith. And so, Lord, we pray as the apostles did. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. If you've said it, if your word says it, that's it. We don't have to figure it all out. But we can stand on your word because your word is always true. So Lord, help us to grow in our faith. Help us to become people of great faith. People who are filled with faith. Who are absolutely confident of what you will be doing. Lord, I confess that I'm often in the camp of little faith. Lord, forgive me and help me to grow into great faith. Work in all of us this way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God willing, next week we'll talk a little bit more about how we can grow that faith. All right? God's blessings on you. Have a great week. If you'd like prayer, I'll be here in the front. Be glad to pray with you. Step out in faith. See ya.